If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za. Make it make sense. Make sense. On Drive 959.
Yes. Come the dawn of a new South Africa. We've learned so many new terms. For instance, none except to be tsunami. Think about it.
We have never had it before.
Yeah, we've never had it, but it happens in other parts of the world, right? Because in the past, we never had much access to information.
Maybe.
Because the news were controlled by that other political party that has now disappeared to Seropem Perekele. So today, make it make sense this afternoon. And we want to understand extradition, right? You made mention of what's her name?
Shane Devani.
Yeah. That was a horrible case.
That was such a horrendous case.
In Cape Town,
And of course, there's this ongoing case trying to get these brothers to come and answer to AKA's murder.
Yeah,
Where the Demande brothers, that has been happening for.
Who are just around the corner?
Aibo.
In Swaziland, Aibo. Got the Guptas. We also have, obviously, the former PA of Ace Magashule, who was extradited this past weekend. I think she landed on Thursday at around 5:45.
And we still,
I even know the time.
Glenn broke the news around 12. Labangabuma Tugu. By the way, Bushiri na yangidi Benegaland. Bushiri wa hamba ne malga baba pasan.
So
what?
I'll tell you.
So when we see extradition processes unfolding on the news, it's usually chaotic scenes from airports with many officials and an individual who has been brought back to South Africa under police suspension. So, my lady here.
Yes, my.
How are you, darling? Are you good?
I'm good. How are
so
you?
So she's going to try and make it sense for us.
Make it make sense for us.
Make it make sense for us.
That's right.
As to what extradition is, you know. So here she is.
And the laws that govern it, I think the one thing that we also want to know is what laws govern this extradition, because we see some other cases are easier, smooth, quick, and some are just long. You're just like, why is this taking so long?
Yeah. And Glenn, you were actually the one who piqued the interest of our listener on Thursday when you basically, you know, spoke about, guys, take a look at your screens tonight. By the time we get home, this is what's going to be happening. And then I also watched the visuals myself, and I saw immediately on social media, everyone's like, yo, this is like a Hollywood-styled type extradition for a PA when her masters, so-called masters in inverted commas, are walking free. And we heard that today as well, to say that she's been incarcerated or, you know, in prison for about 4 months when the people behind this are out and about.
You mean in the States, right?
Because she's been in the States studying.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So the question was, how did she get herself into this situation to begin with? That was because as the PA of Ace Magashule in the asbestos matter, she was called into the State Capture Commission and she was there to verify a lot of the dates and events that were in question. And when they saw that this person knows a lot, she was approached by the state to get into a plea agreement, which at the time, now it's alleged that she agreed to, and then flew off to the States and then reneged on that agreement or decided against it. And that was when now it was ordered that she needed to be brought back to the country, because you cannot disappear with so much information.
Was she studying in the States?
She's been studying in the States.
Oh, okay.
She had a 9-year-old son there as well, which then she had to move to the Nigerian father before she was fetched or extradited. So the question is, why is the small fry, why is there so much attention on her and not on Ace Magashule and Sule and Sule and Sule? And then it raised the question about extradition, the extradition process and how it works. Because as you mentioned, we have the case of the Guptas that's been dragging on for so long. Yeah. Shepherd Bushiri, it's almost impossible to get back into the country. And then we had rapist and also murderer, convicted rapist and murderer, Thabo Bester. His and Nandipha Magudumana's was not so
long. True enough. Hours.
Yeah, exactly. That was
with
so
private
quick.
Jets.
That was so quick. So, of course, we are joined now on the line by a National Police spokesperson, Brigadier Athlenda Mate, who's here to talk to us about the lengthy process that this was and for clarity on just how long it took. And she joins us live on the line. Brigadier Mate, thank you so much. What is extradition and Did enforcement work? How did the law enforcement work with the U.S. in Cholata's case?
Well, a very good afternoon to you and your listeners. Let me firstly hijack your interview, right? So I heard you guys raising concern on the large contingent of police officers that are escorting this lady. And I think it's quite important to give you a brief background. Mm. Yes, okay, she does not pose a risk. We wouldn't say she's a dangerous person. Mm. But if you follow this case, in 2018, we had a man, a businessman, who was linked to this asbestos case, mm. who was killed in a hail of bullets driving his Bentley in Sandton. Mm. And his killers were never found. So, and he was linked to this case. So it does give you an indication that we need to put extra resources, extra personnel to ensure that she is safe. Because at this stage, we do think that she does have answers to some of the questions that we are looking for, and that she is a suspect to this case. So coming back to your question on what extradition is. So to a layman, extradition is the process to bring back a person to the country where they are alleged to have committed a crime. So, for example, if Glenn commits a crime in South Africa, he then moves to the U.S. And then law enforcement finds evidence that he could be, found guilty of a crime, and he's out of the country. We then have to, as law enforcement officers, bring a case, watertight case, to the NPA. We tell them that, obviously, and we try and convince the person there is enough evidence to prosecute them. So we're giving this information so that you can follow the process of applying for an extradition and so on. So that's what will happen. NPA will give them the application to us, SAPS, Interpol Extradition Unit. We will then liaise with authorities in the U.S. to try and get Glenn back with the necessary documentation. There would have been a warrant of arrest. In some cases, there is a red notice. A red notice is an alert of a wanted person. So we follow all these processes. We bring back the person back to the country where they could have they are alleged to have committed the crime, and then they are brought back and they are trialed here. So that is the most easiest way that I can explain what extradition is.
And then, Brigadier Mate, I'm going to bring it back to this which is the main topic of discussion, and that is the length or how long it takes to get, especially these high-profile cases or people implicated in the high-profile cases back in the country. Why is there a difference in the time frame?
Look, it differs from country to country, and it all boils down to cooperation. But also, it all boils down to law enforcement must play its part, ensure that they do have a case that can stand in court. So it starts with us, the SAPS, the Hawks. So let me give you a clear example of what happened in this case of Ms. Choloti. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Hawks conducted the investigation, and as you've rightly indicated, they engaged with her and said, become a state witness, and she then refused. She reneged on that offer. But we also had evidence that, she could be found guilty of perhaps fraud, corruption, theft, and money laundering, given the evidence that we had. So we then submitted this docket to the NPA. The NPA studied it and said, okay, there are grounds to prosecute this person. So they then came back to us, SAPS Interpol Extradition Unit, and they made an application, and they also then handed over a warrant of arrest, a J50, saying this person, there are allegations against this person on fraud, money laundering, theft related to the asbestos case when she was a PA to the former premier of the three states. So immediately what we did on our side, because she was not in the country, we issued a red notice, like I've indicated, that a red notice assists us, especially in the Interpol member country. countries to alert other countries to say this person is wanted in this country for these crimes. So from 2021, we've been working on this particular case, and I can confirm to you that earlier, 2 months ago, she was found extraditable. There was a hearing that side where she was found extraditable. And on the 1st of August, the prosecuting authorities made contact with us, and they gave us 7 days. You've got 7 days to face your fugitive and that. So we stuck to that. And the National Commission of SAPS mobilized a team. And as you saw in the visuals on Thursday, where the extradition unit came back with her, they searched her, and she was then officially arrested in South Africa. So, yeah, it does differ from country to country. But as you see in the case of Bushiri, there was an extradition that was held in Malawi, where Malawi says, South Africa, present your case. Why do you want this person back in your country? So that process is still ongoing, but we do believe that in no time we will have Bushiri and his wife back in the country to answer to crimes that they have committed. They're also just like the Guptas, on the red notice. So any other country where they run to, we will find them, because other countries are alerted through this red notice that we are looking for these fugitives of justice.
Brigadier Mathe, sorry, just a quick one. Does money play a role? You know, everybody, a lot of people will always say, you know, when it comes to law, people with money somehow, they can evade the law and evade being held accountable for certain crimes because they've got the money, they've got the lawyers backing their case and being able to play and speak on behalf of them quite nicely so that they do not actually get to accountable for their crimes. Does money play the law at all here? Or is it a case of country-to-country agreement, and even if you had the best lawyers, if there's a case to answer, you will find yourself extradited?
Look, I wouldn't say money plays a role, but obviously if people have access to money and have good lawyers, then they can try their utmost best to fight extraditions and so on. But I can tell you, once law enforcement looks for you, they will find you and they will extradite you and back to the country where you've committed the crime. So it doesn't matter how long it takes. Your day will come, you will come back to South Africa and answer to crimes committed. I mean, in the last financial year, as SAPS, we worked on 61 extradition requests. We had 4 that came back to the country for crimes that they've committed here, and they are in detention in South Africa and they are awaiting trial. We also sent out 14 that were hiding in our country and were wanted by other countries on crimes that they have committed that side. So you will say, I know members of the public usually say, no, police don't work, they are not effective. Wait until you commit a crime and police come looking for you, we will find you.
Lena Brigadier, I'm scared because you mentioned my name.
Absolutely. We will come for you. So
nice work.
Thank you, Brigadier.
So stay in your lane. Don't commit crime.
Yes.
And yeah, let's work together to make South Africa a much safer place and better place to live in. Working closely with media, yourselves, communities, let's take a stand against criminality and work together.
Brigadier, thank you so much. And with that, Glenn, Khomotso, Skumba, I hope we've made it make sense.
100%.
Yep.
Sure.
Make it make sense. Make sense. On Drive 959. If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.